the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
And appointed each other. But in reality, if you look at the track record of the last 30 years, they've both been very blissful about whapping things down for their own game. And they are locked in this death struggle, if you've noticed, to stay in power. But the best interest of the country as a whole doesn't seem to be rising to the surface. So what can we learn from Luther Martin?
Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, of course, they're going to be your views as well, because this is Open Line Wednesday, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and of course, we look forward to hearing from you. Give us a call. You can talk about what I'm talking about. You can talk about what you'd like to talk about. That's the wonderful thing about open lines. Well, you know, of course, I really wanted to review what has happened here economically, and certainly, as you recall, why, of course, the Congress appropriated $850 billion to get us out of the mess we're in today. This was supposedly for banks to bail out the banks. Now, you have to remember, of course, originally it was $700 billion that was authorized, and they wanted authorized, and then, of course, they had to come back with bribes for the congressmen, so it went up to $850 billion, and yet, as I read the newspaper, they keep talking about the $700 billion that was to be utilized to get the banking system back, and they never mention the $150, that's an eighth of $1 trillion of bribes for the congressmen. They always talk about the $700 billion. They never talk about the $850 billion was actually authorized. But, of course, we explained to you that this was just simply the down payment. And sure enough, why Ben Bernanke testified before Congress the last 48 hours has talked about, well, it's time for another stimulus bill. We're going to have to do something to stimulate the economy. It's going to be more expensive. The Democrats are coming up. They're talking about $150 to $300 billion more of expenditures to try to get the economy going. Now, I don't know whether this is going to be a giveaway like the Republican giveaway earlier this year where they appropriated $168 billion, and of course about $100 billion of that went to individuals in the form of $600 checks. So you were supposed to go out and spend to stimulate the economy, and then the other $66 billion went in one form or another as giveaways to the corporations. But where did the money come from? It's not on the budget. Well, that's part of the debt, but they don't bother to put it on the budget because they want you to believe that the deficit for this year was $450 or $460 billion. But that's really not true. The deficit this year was $460 billion plus another $150 to $200 billion, of course, that they stole from Social Security, but that has to go under the national debt, and then of course there was another $160 billion or more that we actually paid to put up for the war, and that's off budget. They don't put that on the budget, but it's real money, and it has to be repaid sometime. And, of course, it's going to be repaid, I think, of course, not at all. I think, of course, they're going to simply write off the debt when they destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people and take us into the new world economic system. read carefully as you hear other people throughout the world talking about the what we need is a new world economic system, and some people even talk about maybe a new world currency. And, of course, you can go to the Council on Foreign Relations website. There was an article just last year about a new world currency, gold-backed, privately issued. Who do you think has enough gold to issue gold-backed currency? Why, of course, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds have been buying up all the gold as they've been keeping the price down artificially. And now they're dropping the price. You see, everything is manipulated. Everything is delusion, delusion. Our number 1-888-24 Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we're just talking about what's really going on in the world today. And so we've talked about, of course, the $850 billion bailout, but of course that is just the down payment. Then there was, of course, $168 billion stimulus bill that was earlier this year. And then, of course, when AIG went down, well, they had to put up something like $125 billion just to get AIG in good shape. And then, of course, when Lehman Brothers went down, that's another $50 billion there. That's about $175 billion. And now, of course, the Democrats are talking about a stimulus bill. We're going to have a stimulus bill. And some Democrats, they're very conservative Democrats. They only want to put out $150 billion. There are other, of course, Democrats who want to put out about $300 billion at the present time. And that's going to go for infrastructure development. That's going to pay for our highways. That's going to, of course, go to pay for rebuilding our bridges. But you have to understand there is a highway fund. And, of course, federal gasoline tax is put into that federal fund. But you have to understand that they've been stealing money out of that fund for a long time. They put IOUs. They steal the money out of the trust fund for rebuilding our roads. And, of course, they put an IOU in there. When if you or I tried to do something like that, we'd go to prison. Oh, of course, when the politicians do that, we call it, well, just politics. So you have to understand, of course, what's going on today. They're talking now, of course, beginning to rebuild our roads, which we should have been doing all along, and we haven't been doing it because they've been stealing the money so they can give the goodies to the congressmen and to their friends. And let's go to Jim, who's calling us from Chicago and listening to us on shortwave. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Steve?
I'm doing just great. How's the weather back there?
Right now it's about 40-something and partly cloudy.
Okay.
But it's been worse, and we expect worse down the road.
Okay, fine. Well, Anyway, you're listening to us on shortwave. Shortwave come in there pretty well?
Very well.
All right, fine. Do you have any questions or comments?
I have a question. Last Monday, this is something that you brought up. You asked yourself and your audience, why would the Republicans who are in power by controlling the White House, why would they announce a financial crisis a few weeks before the election, knowing that it would help the Democrats to get in office?
Do you know the answer to the question?
No, I don't know the answer.
Well, because basically both the Democrat and Republican Party are controlled by the same people.
Uh-huh.
And I think that they want to get Obama into office. And we'll be back here in just a moment and we'll develop that idea.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And Jim was calling in from Chicago, where, of course, the temperature's in the 40s, and apparently winter is not far away. You'd never know that here on the West Coast, however. But he's asking, of course, why would the Republicans precipitate a crisis just before the election, which, of course, is only going to ensure Barack Obama's election. And, of course, it's very obvious to me that they want Barack Obama elected because the people who control the Republican Party also control the Democrat Party. We have a one-party system with two branches. Remember that George Soros has been funding both Obama and Sidney McCain. I mean, McCain is the most liberal Republican in the United States Senate. Obama is the most liberal Democrat in the United States Senate. They are both globalists. I think Obama has the potential to do a lot more harm than McCain, but I certainly couldn't support either one of them if you ever went into the background of McCain's treasonous acts when he was a prisoner of war, when other people were being tortured, you know, by the North Vietnamese, other American servicemen, why John McCain was making propaganda movies and propaganda programs for the North Vietnamese. He's not a man of character integrity. I could never back him. And you go up on the Internet, there are websites put up there by his fellow prisoners of war who hate McCain because he betrayed America when he was over there. So understand that neither one of them are men of integrity, and both of them will do exactly as they're told. But you have to give the American people the idea that we have a two-party system and that we can go to the polls every 4 years and vote the scoundrels out. And certainly McCain has supported President Nixon, pardon me, President Bush on many of his worst things. President Bush has probably been one of the worst presidents we ever had, and McCain has supported him. President Bush has pushed all sorts of socialist schemes. President Bush, for instance, signed the McCain-Feingold Bill, which was frankly unconstitutional. It actually limits freedom of speech by Christian organizations prior to election. And President Bush actually said, I know this bill is unconstitutional, but I'm going to sign it because the Supreme Court will take care of it. And, of course, the Supreme Court did. They said, it's fine, go ahead and use it, even though we know it's unconstitutional. They didn't say that, but certainly George Bush had said it was unconstitutional. He signed it anyway, and yet had sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution. George Bush has given us the biggest deficits we've ever seen, on average about $400 billion a year. Remember, it took us 2 centuries from 1789 until 1980 to accumulate $1 trillion in debt. Under the Reagan administration, we increased the national debt $200 billion every year, and under George Bush, we've increased it about $400 billion every year. He's the biggest spender of all time, and certainly he's got us into all sorts of wars. He's supported torture, and he's lied about it. He's lied to the public. The White House supported torture. And what about the people they were torturing who didn't have anything to say, who weren't criminals at all? Most of the people have been released from Guantanamo because they were not terrorists. Some of them, they say, well, they've gone back. They're fighting us now. Of course, you get some poor innocent Muslim who is not a terrorist and you torture him for a couple of years, don't you think maybe he's going to join the terrorists and fighting America? Do you blame him if somebody tortured you for a couple of years when you had nothing to tell them and you were innocent? Wouldn't you be pretty angry with the people that tortured you? And unfortunately, so many of the good Christians in America back the President of the United States because he says he's a Christian and because our Christian leaders back him, and they're unconcerned about the torture. And one day we're all going to have to stand before God and explain that. But you ask me, of course, why the Republicans brought this whole house of cards down before the election to help Obama. I think they want Obama. The people, of course, you see behind Obama, people like Warren Buffett. Do you really think Warren Buffett, a multi-billionaire, is backing Obama because he's going to increase Warren Buffett's taxes? The people from Google are backing Obama. Do you think that's because he's going to raise the taxes on them? I mean, Paul Volcker is certainly former chairman of the Federal Reserve System, is behind Obama, as is, of course, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who represents the Rockefeller interest. Do you think that they're backing them because he's going to raise the taxes on the wealthy? No, he's going to raise the taxes on the middle class. There's no way he can give the tax cuts he's promising because, of course, we don't have the money. We're having to borrow several $1 billion every day just to pay our bills. We are no longer the leader of the world. We're a debtor nation and one of the biggest debtor nations in the world. And if China and Japan and the other countries cut off lending us money, America would be bankrupt just like Iceland is today. Any other questions, Jim?
Yes, last Monday you had Bob Chapman on.
Right.
He said if Barack is elected, he would have to resign because of his birth certificate. Is there some valid to that?
Yeah, I think there probably is. I mean, there's a fellow, I believe, named Phil Berg.
Right.
And he is a lawyer, I think, somewhere in the Midwest. And he was a Democrat. He was a backer of Hillary Clinton. And he actually brought a lawsuit against Barack Obama, saying that all the evidence is that he was actually born in Kenya. And then his mother came from Kenya to Hawaii and got a certificate saying that, not that he was actually born there, but that he was an American citizen, something of the sort, which is, of course, an illegitimate thing. I mean, he was born in Kenya, and basically we've talked to people who've been over in Kenya. Everybody acknowledges he was born there. His grandmother says he was born there. His half-brother says he was born there. Everybody in the world knows that Obama was born in Kenya and was not a native-born American, which is required by the Constitution if you're going to become a president, except the American people, and the information has been suppressed here by the controlled media. Because, of course, Obama really is a very charismatic individual, and there are a lot of Americans who support him. And so there are a lot of Americans who really don't care what the Constitution says. They want Obama because he is going to bring them change. Well, I think the change he's going to bring is a disaster.
I agree with you very much, though.
But I think there's a very real question as to whether he is a natural-born American citizen, as is required by the Constitution of the United States. But nobody seems to worry about the Constitution anymore. And because the media is controlled, this information is being suppressed. You'll find a lot of this up on the Internet. And you can have you looked at Mr. Berg's website?
Yeah, because he's from Pennsylvania.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if that was to happen, Dr. Stan, wouldn't that cause a lot of crisis in America if he had to resign?
Well, of course, I don't think he'd be required to resign. Who would make him resign? Would the Congress make him resign? Or would the courts make him resign?
We don't
believe in the law anymore.
Right.
Most people don't even believe in the Constitution. They don't understand what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And it's about time we got back to our Constitution, because it's the only thing that protects us from tyranny.
Right. All right. Thank you very much, Dr.
God bless. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Dee, who's calling from Post Falls, Idaho. Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, I'm doing pretty well. I had an inspiring, rousing. I went to the rally, the Chuck Mullen rally in Spokane.
Oh, how did it go?
It went very well. He is a very genuine, serious candidate. And I think the loudest applause line of the evening was when he said that CFR members need not apply in his cabinet and his administration.
Well, I know Chuck personally. I've met him, and we've had him on our programs many times. I consider him a friend, and he is an excellent candidate. He backs certainly Ron Paul's program of doing away with the Fed and getting back to the Constitution, and I'm so glad to hear that he had a good support there. Really, what's so discouraging here in California, he's not on the ballot, and he's not on the ballot because the American Independent Party here, which has always been part of the Constitution Party, has been taken over by wicked people who are running Alan Keyes, who, of course, there was a spoiler to keep, of course, either Ron Paul or Chuck Baldwin from winning the presidency.
Yeah, evidently Ron Paul has endorsed Chuck Baldwin.
Yes.
He definitely is in that mold. And he's a very serious candidate. And the thing that really impresses me, Dr. Stan, is that he does not bow the knee to pop culture. And if I have a small confession to make, and that is I have been entertained by the likes of Leno and Saturday Night Live, but I think that that's a horrible place. It's no place for any godly, serious candidate to go. And I must say my stock in Sarah Palin went down, even making a brief appearance. After all, it was Lorne Michaels, the writer for Saturday Night Live, that had some comical sketch that was implying that Todd Palin was sleeping with his daughters. Now, I don't know how that was in the 21st century, but in the 19th century, Todd Palin, if he had any honor, would be challenging Lorne Michaels to a duel.
Well, unfortunately, we don't do that today. And, of course, you have no comeback. The people in the media are above reproach. And are you going to sue them? It wouldn't do any good. It would take you 2 or 3 years to get the case to trial. And, of course, they're talking about, of course, the upcoming election, about 10, 12 days from now. So basically, of course, I have to understand that Saturday Night Live and its satire is used to influence it. It's very obvious that Jay Leno is backing Barack Obama. He says all the terrible things about McCain, you know, how old he is, and they show pictures of him in odd poses and, you know, talk about his poor health, and he's sort of a decrepit individual. Now, I don't like McCain, but of course, Jay Leno is using his platform to back Barack Obama. And that's unconscionable. And he would never, of course, give Chuck Baldwin the time of day. I will give him credit, though. He did put Ron Paul on once or twice, and for that I will be eternally grateful.
Well, it's a difficult thing because some politicians will do anything to get that huge media share audience, and I just think it's beneath the dignity of a serious candidate.
Well, anyway, of course, I'm glad that Chuck Baldwin made a good showing up there, and he's going to be very interested to see how he does in those states where he actually has an opportunity. I think if they had none of the above on the ballot, why, of course, that's the one that would be winning. Hey,
amen.
Thanks very much for calling.
Amen.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Mark calling from Ohio. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. What part of Ohio are you from?
Central Ohio.
Okay, very good.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
The thing that disappoints me more than anything is, and it's basically been documented by David Kuo in his book Tempting Faith and Chuck Colson and Ed Dobson in their book Blinded by Might, their former political insiders for the religious right, and they came out, and they basically, they said it politely, but basically the leadership, the self-appointed leadership of the religious right, Dobson, Gary Bauer, and some of these foolish pastors across the country, they're basically being used as puppets by the Republicans, and the main reason is because they've got huge egos, and once you stroke it, they'll do anything you want.
Well, first of all, I think Dobson is an honest man. I think he means very well, but I think he's surrounded by people who pretty well control him. You try to get a call through to Dobson, you try to get a letter through to Dobson, you are not going to get it. It's going to be intercepted. I've personally talked to Dobson met him a couple of times. I think he loves the Lord, but I don't think that he realizes the degree of evil that we're up against.
Well, they're naive.
I think he is naive. Now, Gary Bauer is not naive at all. He was one of the founders of the Project for the New American Century. Mm-hmm. He's using his position within the Christian community to promote the ideas of the neoconservative movement, which, of course, is a fascist movement. So anybody who doubts that simply needs to go to the Project for the New American Century website, newamericancentury.org. And they pulled it down for a time, but last time I looked, it was up there. And look at the original founders of the organization in 1997 and 1998, and Gary Bauer was there. And I have always liked Gary until I realized, of course, he is using the Christians. He's not naive. I think a lot of the people are, and I think what you say is absolutely true. You flatter them, they'll do almost anything.
Yep. Just a quick reiteration. You say that Lindsay was told by person Mr. X,
right,
that before the election something will happen.
Right, and it doesn't look like it. I don't imagine. I can't see how anything is going to happen that is going to prevent Barack Hussein Obama from becoming next president of the United States. But I'm prepared to be surprised.
Well, he's going to take a plane flight to Hawaii. Who knows what could happen then?
Well, certainly. All we want to do is pray for him because nothing else we can do. God bless. Thanks so very much.
Bye.
Hey, let's go to Phil calling from upstate New York, and he says the shortwave reception's excellent tonight. I'm glad to hear that, Phil. Do you have a question or comment?
Oh, no, you got it wrong. It's Bill.
Phil, okay.
And the reception's, well, it's fair.
All right, fine.
I get it, but it's not as good as it was last week.
All right, fine. Did you have a question or comment?
I wanted to apologize for telling people about that third-party convention that I thought was supposed to happen on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I tried getting it on both C-SPANs, both Saturday and Sunday, and it wasn't on either one.
Now, this was actually a debate of the third-party presidential candidates. I don't know what happened to it. I know I was told it was actually canceled because nobody was coming. We are having Chuck Baldwin on a couple of times next week, so I'll ask him what happened. I think he's going to be our guest at 7 o'clock on Monday morning, if you listen to our early morning program there. Of course, 10 o'clock in your time, 7 o'clock here on the West Coast. That's on the American Freedom Network, americanewsnet.org, I think it is, americanewsnet.org or .com on the Internet. Anything else?
No, except, well, I would like to make a comment on something you said a little while ago about the good Christians who were supporting George W. Bush. Are you still there?
Yeah, sure I am.
I thought you got cut off or something. Now, in my opinion, for what it's worth, anybody who still claims to be a Christian and supports George W. Bush, I can't find anything much good to say about them at this point.
Well, I think that there are some good people who are very, very naive, who certainly, simply because the Christian leaders support them, they're born followers. I think people who think about what's going on, think about torture, and think about the lies we've been told, and think about, of course, what he has done. And if they've ever read David Coe's book, who was actually in the Bush administration, they would realize that this is what's going on in the White House. Today gives hypocrisy a bad name. And understand that George Bush is simply a figurehead for the power elite who control him. And if you've never actually heard my talk on the forbidden secret, and read the syllabus, which gives you the full text of George Bush's first and second inaugural addresses, you'll get a much different picture of George Bush. He certainly belongs to a secret society. The Skull and Bones, which when he was asked by Tim Russert what it was, he said, it's so secret I can't talk about it. If it's so secret he can't talk about it, where is his loyalty? And I think his loyalty is, of course, to the occult forces in that organization. Hey, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and right now we've got Mark calling from Florence, Oregon, and then we have Ron from Richland, Washington, Tony from Michigan, and we have one line open. So if you want to call in, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and if you don't mind waiting for a little while, we'll try to get to you. Hi, Mark. How are things up there in Florence?
They're not doing too bad, Dr. Stan, considering the way the rest of the world's going.
Okay, fine.
Good to speak with you, Dr. Stan. I originally called about a guest suggestion, which I'd like to mention to you, but I wanted to comment. You were talking about George Soros actually backing Obama and McCain.
Right.
And I guess you're fully aware, you probably reported it. I take in so much information on a daily basis, I probably just don't remember it, but it was about 3 months ago or so, and McCain went over to England, and he went to Baron David Rothschild's estate.
Right.
And there was a fundraiser there for him, and it was against the law for him to be over there raising money in another country for a presidential election in this country.
You're absolutely right, but then who's going to call him on the carpet? Obama's not going to call him on the carpet. He's getting a lot of money from out of the country, too.
Yes.
They're all violating the laws. The last thing, of course, they want is for the American people to know the significance of the fact that McCain was over there in England at a luncheon put on by Lord Rothschild. In fact, before they would allow Arnold Schwarzenegger to run for the governorship here in California. Why, I believe it was, as I remember, Warren Buffett who took him over to introduced him to Lord Rothschild, who gave thumbs up for Arnold, and then he was allowed to run as the governor of the state of California. And you remember, of course, it's Warren Buffett who's actually backing Obama today. So they're all in this together. They control the Republicans, they control the Democrats, and they make mockery out of this concept of a two-party system.
Mm-hmm. I think it just tells us, you know, in detail how things, it's impossible, it just won't add up any way you cut it when you have the knowledge of what's going on behind the scenes politically, that either candidate in the two-party system and the main two parties, the Republican or Democrats, are going to bring any kind of change for the better in their policies for this country. That's just not their objective.
I agree with you totally. What we need to do, of course, Mark, is to get the American people to understand that the two-party system is a fraud. Everything is illusion and delusion. And reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king.
Mm-hmm.
But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. We need to take America back, and we're going to do it by getting people informed.
Dr. Stan, in light of that, I'd like to mention a guest suggestion.
All right, go right ahead. And we, incidentally, for our listeners, we're talking to Mark, who's calling us from Florence, Oregon, and he's listening on shortwave. So we're getting both the East Coast and the West Coast with that station out of North Carolina. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you'd like to give us a call. Okay, who is the guest you're suggesting, Mark?
Yes, Dr. Stan, on Rick Wiles' True News show last Friday night, he had on Representative, U.S. Congressman Paul Brown. It's B-R-O-U-N.
All right, and what is his position? Is he Republican or Democrat? Is he a good guy back there?
You know, I'm not sure. He's probably a Republican, but I can't say for sure. He's a medical doctor to start with. He's also a born again Christian, and he actually has his Christian testimony on his website. And I thought he would make an excellent guest for you because it was about a 45-minute interview or so. And he's just very outspoken and very much in agreement with Rick and how Rick views the current politics of today. And being within the U.S. Congress and actually, you know, just being so honest and outspoken, I thought he'd make a great guest, you know, on a lot of different shows, including yours. But I can give you his website real quick, Dr. Stan.
Go ahead. And is that B-R-A-U-N?
No, it's B-R-O-U-N. It's a U instead of the usual W for brown.
Okay, fine.
But it's pronounced like the color brown, but it's B-R-O-U-N.
All right.
House.gov.
All right, fine. Thank you very much. I appreciate the suggestion.
God bless you, Dr. Stan.
God bless you, too. Thanks very much. Get the rest of those people up there in Florence listening to us, will you?
Oh, I'll do my best, Dr.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we've got Ron from Richland, Washington calling. Hi, Ron. How you doing?
Well, fine, Dr. Stan. It's getting cold up here. But nonetheless, two of my coworkers, they were meeting across the hall, and they were discussing about how real global warming is and how it's man-made, and we've got to do something about it. And he saw even China thinks we ought to do something about it, so you know it's real. And the fact that he saw it on Frontline, I guess that's on PBS, so you know that's just unimpeachable information. And I thought, wow, how did Greenland get its name?
Well, did you ask him that question? Why did they call Greenland Greenland?
If they ask me, I butt in. If they don't ask, I'm not part of the conversation. I think it's rude to... by the way, I tell them what I think if they ask me. I don't tell them what they want to hear. I'm always polite, but nonetheless, I think that... if they ask me what I think I should tell them what I think.
All right. Well,
what they want me to think.
Well, I think sometimes you just have to very casually just say, well, you know, why do they call Greenland Greenland? Or what percentage of the atmosphere is CO2? Well, that's the point. Let me point it out. It's 1%, of course, would be 1%. Well, it's not 1%. It's 0.038%. 0.03% of the atmosphere is CO2. Do you really think they're going from 0.028% to 0.038% of the atmosphere has caused all this problem? Do you really believe that? And then just walk on off. Don't argue with them. Try to get them to think. The problem we have, Ron, is we have so many people who do not think today. They believe everything they read in the newspaper, that they see on television, and, of course, that they hear on the radio. Our job is to raise questions, and once they begin to think, then, of course, we can carry on an intelligent conversation.
Well, it seems to me like if it's PBS... they're funded by a lot of these tax-exempt or foundations.
Right.
Now, that's one of the... those are people bankrolling the destruction of our society right now.
You're absolutely right.
And they're doing
right.
it through this disinformation.
Right.
And I'd like to have some data that I could set, where they were exposed. I think they were exposed, in the 1950s? During a congressional investigation?
Well, you're basically talking about the Reese Committee investigation. Yes,
yes.
The Reese Committee, we have kept in print the book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and certainly Charlotte Isabey, has the entire text of the Reese Committee investigations up on her website. You'd have to go to her, I've forgotten the exact website, but you go to deliberatedumbdown.com, or just type in Charlotte Isabey, a Reese Committee Investigations on Google, and it'll get you there. But it's much easier to read the book. It's only 300 or 400 pages. The investigation's about 3,000 pages, but they simply pointed out that the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie Foundations had been funding communism and socialism, for 20 or 30 years at the time. The investigation was probably about 1953, 1954.
Okay, well, that's one thing I wanted to, information I needed just to try and get them to question the validity of the sources to which they're getting their information.
Now, of course, I don't even think we had PBS at that time. To get people, ask them, why do you think so many wealthy people are backing Barack Obama? Do you think they want to pay more taxes? Why do you think Warren Buffett's backing Barack Obama? Why are the people, of course, who are running Google backing Barack Obama? Do you think they want to pay more taxes? Try to get them to think. That's the biggest problem. They have almost hypnotized our whole population. In fact, we're having a guest tomorrow evening on our second hour who's a psychologist who talks about how they're actually hypnotizing us using television and radio.
Lester Roloff, God rest his soul, I don't know if you remember him.
Right.
He's a preacher on the radio. I still hear him. His first sermons are still broadcast. Said television would be the big stick the devil would use to beat the United States into submission.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I lived in South Africa before and after television came in, and it totally transformed their society back in 1976, 1977. It was the worst thing that ever happened to South Africa. And, of course, it's had even many more years to destroy this nation.
By the way, I am very active in the Republican Party, and I'm trying to educate people. And one of the websites that I'm telling them to go to, of course, is yours, and also to Joel Skousen's, and to Bob Chapman's, and some others.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to work within. I'm not going to cave, but I'm going to be there and educate them and hopefully shine the light and maybe persuade some folks.
That's all you can do. God bless you for being involved, for doing your best. That's all we can do.
All right, well, and you keep up the good work, Dr. Stan.
Well, and thanks so much for calling, Ron.
God bless.
And God bless you, too. This is Ron calling from Richland, Washington. And right now, let's go. Oh, he was listening on locals. Oh, of course, he's listening on one of our American Christian Network stations. Let's go to Tony calling from Michigan. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Yes, good evening, sir. The man that was saying a few minutes ago, I think a couple of calls back, was saying about Obama's going to Hawaii tomorrow.
Right.
Like he was wishing for an accident. But I want that man to know, when he left his mouth, the Lord heard him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Pharaoh in Egypt, when he was saying the firstborn of every Jewish family would die, his son was the first one that died.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can't do that. And I want them, if the audience to know that God is in control of everything. He's in control. Who will in that White House is because God don't want them in there. Because God don't want them, they won't go in there. You know what I mean? And I'm in God's kingdom. He's control. He builds nations and he tears them down. Okay? God do that.
All right, fine. Well, of course, if you recall when he made the remark about Barack Obama perhaps having an accident, I just said we should pray for him. And I believe we should pray for Barack Obama. And we should pray for John McCain. But, of course, neither one of them, in my estimation, is fit to be the president. But that's, of course, my opinion. But I certainly do not believe that we should pray for anything bad to happen to him.
Well,
after all, if something should happen to him, he would not have an opportunity to develop a personal relationship with
him. This thing about he was born in Kenya and all that mess, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just a lot of hate-filled people.
But the question is, God
is still controlling everything.
Yeah, that's very true. But don't you think that it would be important to know if he really was born?
Well, I don't care.
Okay,
God knows where he was born.
I see. Do you believe in the Constitution?
I believe in Jesus Christ.
Do you believe in the Constitution?
I believe in Jesus Christ.
All right, fine. Well, anything else you want to say there, Tony?
God is controlling it. And that man that said that Obama plane going to Hawaii, he don't dig ditches.
Well, I think that we should always pray for our enemies.
I have no enemies.
All right.
I have love. God loves us all.
Right.
Okay? And we're going to wish on this one or that one. God is in control. He's in charge.
Okay.
And they're going to go the way he wanted to go, regardless, for his purpose, not for ours.
Do you think that we should be involved at all in what's going on?
We can be involved, but when we go to preaching hatred and all that kind of stuff, that's not good.
All right, you're absolutely right. Okay, okay. Tony, God bless you. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right, fine. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I certainly agree with Tony that we should not, Chris, wish something terrible would happen to Barack Obama. We are told to love our enemies, and certainly this is what Christianity is all about. If we want to play the political game like everybody else does, we're no different than other people, and hopefully Christians will have a different outlook because we worship a different Lord. We actually worship the Lord who told us to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be involved. That doesn't mean that we do not have a moral obligation to be involved. But we should not hate the people who were doing the bad things any more than the people who lived in Europe should have hated the Nazis. In fact, if you've ever heard some of the interviews we've done with people who were there, we have a wonderful four-tape set called The Holocaust, What Really Happened, and talking to people who lived through this, and of course their attitude towards the Germans, towards the cruelty of some of the Nazis, and really because, of course, they had the Spirit of the Lord within, they did not hate them, and they triumphed. But believe me, when you're filled with hate, they've actually destroyed you as well. So our job is to practice Christianity, and sometimes it's very difficult to do, but our job is to do it. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And right now we've got, of course, John calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, and shortwave has good reception there. So, hey, good evening, John. How are you doing?
Hey, doing really good. Dr. Stan, I don't know, I guess you don't have the title of prophet, but you were right about when you said our economy was next here in Canada. Boy, were you ever correct.
I do not claim to be a prophet, because when you're wrong, you know what happens to prophets. No, we just do a lot of studying, and we've been at this for 46 years. We don't have any supernatural power. God has never spoken directly to me, although I've seen his influence in my life many times. And if he ever does give me a message, I'll let you know. But right now, we're simply looking at things from a historical point of view, and having been around 46 years, I think we have a pretty good grasp of what's happening. And besides that, I know what the agenda is, and that is they want to destroy our economy. They may be able to get it going temporarily by pouring out, $4, $5, or $10 trillion, but down the line, that's, of course, going to be highly inflationary. That'll destroy the value of your currency and of ours as well. But anyway, John, did you have a question?
I did have
comment?
A question, yeah. First of all, I have a question. I have a comment and a question. The comment is, I choose to buy my gas in Washington State because I only pay like $2.65 a gallon, whereas in Canada, it's quite a bit more. Usually, it's almost double. So that's the first way that I really appreciate the fact that I can just cross the border and pay a lot less. My question is, with the hike of the gas price was so rapid, but when the lowering of it has taken for ages, I think, are we going back to like a medieval sort of a feudal system, or what's going on? Because they're not reflecting the true, what the gas price should truly be. It should have been down a long time ago by now, and they're just sort of hovering still up there. So I just thought maybe you got a comment on that.
I think you're absolutely right. I look at it, it's down. We were about 440 a gallon. I think we're down to about 350 a gallon here. And yet, of course, the price has dropped almost 50%. So they're just manipulating the prices to make as much money as they can. I think the price will probably drop down maybe to $2 a gallon, but it'll never get back to where it should. Because, of course, this whole thing is manipulated. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. I believe in the free enterprise system. But when the people, certainly in the corporations, are working hand in glove with government to rape the people and impoverish the people, and then, of course, you do not have a free enterprise system. I believe in free enterprise. Right now we have a fascist system, a partnership between corporations and government and the media, because, of course, by controlling the media, they can keep people from thinking, which is why I do what I do 5 hours a day, try to educate the people at least to listen to what's going on so you can educate others. But, of course, the whole, in fact, certainly you, I don't know if you've seen my newsletters on oil. We have one, the August newsletter, and then, of course, we have the September newsletter that just went out. We'll try to get that posted. I've already finished the October newsletter, the conclusion of that series, and, of course, there's no question at all. There's plenty of oil. Peak oil is one of the greatest scams of all time, but it doesn't matter how illogical something is. If you say it often enough, people will believe.
But can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why is it, me being a Canadian, I just love coming across the border and shopping in a Washington state. Why is it that gas prices are lower, price of commodities and stuff and a product that I buy are almost always half price to a quarter of the price in the States, where it's so much higher in Canada? It's like I want to move down and live in the States. It's
well,
like,
because you have a lot more socialism in Canada than we have. You have free medical care. And,
right.
Of course, somebody's got to pay for that medical care. Of course, it's
right.
Paid for with gasoline taxes and all other sorts of things. And you have so much more regulation in many respects because you do not have the Constitution that we have. So I believe this is really why prices are much lower here than they are there. But I think we'll catch up with you. Don't worry. I'll stay where you are.
I still love America, though.
I love Canada. We're together. There's no two countries that are closer together as far as their people than Canada and the United States. But we have our Constitution. Let's just hope and pray that we're going to be able to continue our Constitution, and we can reinstitute it and get people to understand it is the foundation of our freedom. Hey, I'm going to have to let you go.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye. And, of course, I hope our listeners out there have enjoyed the program. We've got Larry calling from Covington, Kentucky. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. I had to turn the radio off because of feedback.
All right. Go ahead.
60-second delay or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to ask you was this. Do you think Obama is the Antichrist or anywhere near it?
Well, I really don't think it's the Antichrist. We're just going to have to wait and see. I know some people do. We'll be back in just a moment. So anything else, Larry?
I was just wondering, a friend of mine said that he believed Obama would be elected.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. We're moving into uncharted waters. We're moving into very dangerous times. And I feel that the Lord is still out there. I believe he's going to bring judgment on America. I hope he's going to use what lies ahead in the terrible times and the terrible suffering and the terrible deprivation that lie ahead. And perhaps even famine and plagues and wars that will become part of our everyday life, but I hope he's going to utilize that to bring people back to him. And our job is to be there and point them towards the only solution. It's not in politics. It is in a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're just going to have to wait and see what's going to happen. We're living in exciting times. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in a position and you can help us, we'd love to hear from you. If you're not, we understand a lot of people are hurting. But God's kept us going for, 10, 15 years. Now we've been on the air since, 1993. And so if you would like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you're able to do it. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And certainly let me suggest that you can go there. You can listen to our programs there. They're archived. You can listen to a live feed 9 hours a day. You can listen to our MP3 programs, our blog programs. They're all there. And they're there. It doesn't cost you a cent to listen. And then, of course, we actually have a section on videos you can watch, and another section on other videos, and you can read our newsletters. Copy them. You're welcome to copy anything we have and get it out, because we're involved in a battle of ideas, and we need to have your help to get that information out. And certainly what we have to do is get the facts to you and make sure they're accurate. And, of course, if you look at our web newsletters, the source of all of our information is there. And you can document what we're saying. Now, of course, our recurrent theme is the fact we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. And if we want to be any different than everybody else, we've got to be able to pray for the people we don't like. And if you don't like Obama, you pray for him. If you don't like McCain, you pray for him. Pray for them all, because, of course, hopefully the Lord will intervene. And we're involved in a political battle. But it's really a spiritual battle being played out on a political battlefield. And until you understand that both the Democrat and the Republican parties are controlled by the same people who are intent upon bringing about a world government, inducing racial strife here in the United States, destroying our currency system, and of course creating a new world order, a new world financial system, a new world global currency, and a new world religion. Once you understand that, everything makes sense. You certainly want to first read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can watch the DVD by that title up on our website for free, but you need to get the book to have the documentation. You need to hear our talk on the Forbidden Secret and get the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the listen to our DVD on the planned police state and get our DVD with that. If you want to know the true story of O.J. Simpson and how that was used to foment racial strife, you need to get our 4-tape set on O.J. Simpson. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We are having an all-day seminar on Sunday. We've got over 165 people coming, and I think it's going to be a great time. I hope you're among those who are signed up to come. And remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for our ministry, for its provision and our protection. Never forgetting for a moment that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And so we're going to be back in just a moment or two. We're going to have Dr. Garth Nicholson, one of my favorite guests, for the next hour. You can hear us on the Internet, and we'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in a battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, of course, for the next hour, I hope they're going to be the views of Dr. Garth Nicholson, who's certainly one of my favorite guests. And Garth was a tenured professor at the H.B. Anderson Clinic and Medical School there in Texas. He began to investigate a strange epidemic of multiple sclerosis and anterior lateral sclerosis. Now, these degenerative neurological diseases are not infectious, at least not considered infectious. They don't occur in epidemics. They're really relatively rare, and yet, of course, in a town called Huntsville in Texas, there were simply groups, clusters, as they call them. I mean, a half a dozen cases of one or the other degenerative neurological disease within a few blocks of one another. And, of course, as Dr. Nicholson began to investigate, he found that, of course, many of these people were infected with a genetically created mycoplasm. And, of course, as the story came out, why the government was experimenting with the prisoners there at Huntsville, of course, in violation of all humane laws and humanity, and, of course, there were a couple of students that had been students of the medical school. Garth had been their teacher. They'd graduated, gone on to become pathologists, and they were working for the state of Texas. And, of course, the prisoners, an awful lot of prisoners, were dying, and the bodies were supposed to be sent to the state laboratory for an analysis, and, you know, where the state pathologists could go over them. But instead of that, they were being sent to military facilities for autopsy. And, of course, as the doctors began to complain and look into that, suddenly the doctors began to die. And, of course, there's a wonderful book Garth Nicholson has written called Project Daylily. It's written by Garth and his wife, Nancy Nicholson. And I will tell you, if you've ever read a Tom Clancy thriller, this one is, of course, even more dramatic, except this one is true. And the names have been changed to avoid lawsuits, but I know many of the people that are mentioned there. I've interviewed many of them. And this is a true story. If you've never read Operation Daylily, you need to get it. But without further ado, we have Garth on the line now. Hi, good evening. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm fine, actually. Thanks for having me on, Sam.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Tell us a little bit about, is there anything new as far as these chronic diseases are concerned, the relationship between the chronic mycoplasm and the anterior lateral sclerosis, Gulf War illness, all of these new diseases that are out there, Lyme disease, autism, all plaguing our population and having, of course, many of these are involved in infection with genetically modified mycoplasm?
Well, it's interesting that you ask. I just returned with Nancy from the annual Lyme disease meetings put on by the International Lyme and Association Disease Society, and they had their annual meeting in San Francisco. I gave the keynote address, and it was just on this topic, actually. It was on the topic not only Lyme disease, but the associated infections. Lyme disease caused by Borrelia burgdorferi, but it's not as simple as that. It turns out that the bite of a tick can lead not only to that infection, but to a whole host of other infections, at least a half a dozen more. And the Mycoplasma fermentans, the one you were just talking about that was tested in the prison system, guess what? It's one of those infections. And all this started right in Old Lyme, Connecticut, a few years back. And it's very interesting because it actually didn't start there. It actually started on the tip of Long Island, right across from Plum Island. Plum Island is a USDA laboratory where the Army and the USDA were investigating with, guess what, ticks as vectors.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead. Of course, you're talking about, of course, the Plum Island, which, of course, was a center for, medical experiments, military experiments on these new terrible diseases that could be used for biological warfare, and using ticks as vectors. And, of course, Plum Island is just across the internet from a place in Connecticut known as Lyme, Connecticut, where the disease was at least initially discovered. So pick the story up from there.
Well, the interesting thing about it was that the scientists on Plum Island thought that they were isolated because here's this little island off of the tip of Long Island, and they thought that they could do outdoor experiments on the island, and it would be contained, their experiments with ticks and infections and so on. Ticks as vectors to spread infection. They were using animals, and they had them in cages outside. But it's totally ridiculous. They didn't consider that the ticks would jump on the birds, and then the birds would fly to the mainland as well as to Long Island, and then the ticks would jump on or jump off, and all of a sudden the animals there would get infected, and eventually the humans got infected, and so that's why the disease was first described in Old Lyme, Connecticut. But it has spread since then across the entire United States, and there are hot zones, and of course New England is practically every other person in New England has been bitten by a tick that contains these infections. And now everything from Texas to the North Midwest to the far West, even Northern California, is actually full of Lyme disease now. The ticks have spread. The birds have carried it all across the United States, up into Canada, and so on. So it'll be a worldwide phenomenon, and it's beginning to be a worldwide phenomenon now. And I mean, you know yourself, being up in Central California, that Lyme disease is a serious concern. It's a serious medical concern. People that go outside can have ticks jump on them, and now all of a sudden they have to be concerned about the tick bite leaving an infestation of these multiple infections.
And I think that's really what's so important. It's not simply the Borrelia. Of course, it's a multitude of infections. One of them is mycoplasm. What are some of the other infections that they can get from the tick bite?
Well, they can get bacteria like Ehrlichia, Bartonella. They can get parasites like Babesia. And all of these different infections have their own course and their own problems associated with them. And, of course, one of the major problems with all these is they're intracellular. They get inside the cells, and they're difficult to treat. That means the drug regimens that are used for Lyme disease are complex because...
Hold that thought, please, for just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Nicholson was just saying that, of course, there are multiple infections involved with these tick bites. And, of course, it's not simply the Borrelia. There's a mycoplasma, and there's several others, chronic diseases. And so you get your tick bite. Why, of course, you have multiple infections to treat. And, of course, it certainly alters your approach to antibiotics. So what is the antibiotic of choice, or is there any antibiotic of choice for these chronic infections that are disabling an increasing number of people, not only, of course, in Lyme, Connecticut, but all across America, as this disease is actually spreading all throughout the world. And believe me, people in government are never going to admit what's going on. In fact, they're doing everything they can to cover it up. In fact, the doctors who have the courage to go ahead and treat this many times, their licenses are threatened because they're trying to do something to help the people. And there are probably close to a million Americans who either have or have had Lyme disease, chronically disabled people who go from doctor to doctor, and of course nobody can figure out what's wrong with them. But pick up the story there.
Well, it's actually many millions now. It used to be down in that number, but I'm not even sure of the numbers now there, because it's a very difficult disease to diagnose, and most physicians actually don't know how to properly diagnose it because of all the co-infections that are involved. The problem basically with these infections, and actually when it got started, the problem is the denial. They first denied it, and because they denied it, it began to penetrate and spread into the population. I mean, we found the same problem with the mycoplasma. Once you deny it, you allow it to really go out of control, and that's what happened with Lyme disease. They possibly could have stopped it at its source if they hadn't been in denial. But by being in denial, it just allowed it to take hold and spread further. And so now we've got a situation where it's virtually all over the United States, but especially in areas where animals can carry it in the environment. And they thought that, well, perhaps only the deer are carrying it, the deer ticks. Now it turns out there are multiple species of ticks and multiple species of carriers. So it's not only just deers, but it's practically every animal in the wild, and of course humans as well, that can be bitten and can be a carrier. There are very difficult treatments involved in eradicating, if you can eradicate, Lyme-associated infections. And basically, the strategy is to go after the three different forms of all these different co-infections. One is an active metabolic form. That's an intracellular form of the bacteria or the parasite. Another is a cystic form, which is a form which is quiescent inside the cell. And then there's another form, which is an extracellular form, where the bacteria and the parasites have a coating on it. And so there are different classes of antibiotics. One that goes after the coated bacteria. Another that goes after the intracellular bacteria that doesn't really have a coat. And another that goes after the cystic form. So there are multiple types of antibiotics used for these different things, and they're used often together in different regimens, complex regimens. So if anyone has Lyme disease and they're interested in finding out more, they should go to the International Lyme and Associated Diseases website, ILADS.org website, to get more information about not only the treatment, but the physicians in their area that are capable and competent enough to treat this, because it's a very complex problem.
Well, first of all, how do you make the diagnosis? We see patients come in all the time with chronic fatigue. They just, of course, chronically exhausted. They just don't have any energy. They don't necessarily remember being bitten by a tick. Maybe they spent a lot of time out of doors, you know, in areas, and certainly where I live here in the Monterey Bay area. Why, of course, Lyme disease has been found in one of our ticks. But how do you make the diagnosis? Because you can't treat everybody who comes in with chronic fatigue.
Diagnosis is the bullseye rash.
Right.
Problem is that only 30% of people present with that bullseye rash. The overwhelming majority of patients have no recollection of being bit and do not have a rash. So here's the problem. And then they start exhibiting some of the signs and symptoms, of which chronic fatigue is probably the most obvious one. But there are others as well. And then all of a sudden, you know, they have this problem, and they get a blood test. They find out that they do have the Borrelia, but it can't stop there. You have to really find out if you have the co-infections, because that will decide essentially what type of complex antibiotic regimen that you go on. And, of course, there are a lot of other considerations as well, and we've worked on this basically with the mycoplasmal infections, lipid replacement therapy to replace the damaged lipids in the cells. And there's a product now that we use called NT Factor that does that. And this is a natural process that happens with aging, and it happens in virtually every chronic illness. And we've been studying neurodegenerative diseases more recently in the role of lipid damage in causing fatigue, because the mitochondrial lipids are damaged and oxidized, and mitochondria become leaky. And the mitochondria are the little batteries inside the cell, and you can imagine if you take a battery and strip the insulation off of it or poke holes in it, it will leak out and discharge, and then you won't have any energy from the battery anymore. And the same thing happens to our mitochondria inside our cells. It supplies the energy so that we can perform functions, and the cell can build things and perform the functions it has to. And without that energy, then things go awry. And, of course, fatigue is one of the obvious things that happen. Many other things happen as well. So lipid replacement therapy is important. The proper vitamins and minerals and supplements are proper to maintain the immune system. And actually, part of recovering from Lyme, like other chronic diseases, depends upon boosting your immune system. So there are a number of things that we recommend for that. And there are a whole host of other issues which are important, which people can find out about by going to our website for the Institute for Molecular Medicine, and that's www.immed.org. People ask and tell them, just remember immediate.org, and go to that website, and they can find a lot of information about these chronic diseases, including Lyme disease and other problems with neurodegenerative diseases and fatiguing illnesses and so on, and what to do about it, where to get help, how to get tested, not only testing, but what to do in terms of treatment, and what to do yourself. Your physician will order the antibiotics or other things, which is kind of the hammer, but what else do we need to do besides that? Because we found over the years that that's really inadequate to just treat with antibiotics. You really have to do all these other things to help repair and regenerate the system, because there's so much damage that occurs in our cells and our tissues that we can't ignore it. We have to elicit that repair process, or otherwise patients just really never fully recover. They always remain sick.
Well, of course, it's everybody who has Lyme disease have a positive blood test for the Borrelia?
No. And this is why things like Lyme disease depend upon really a physician's examination, and a physician that knows what they're doing. And so they have very complex methods of analyzing patients. And the reason for that is, again, I was explaining that these infections exist inside the cells, sometimes in inactive forms, cyst forms, sometimes in metabolically active forms, but rarely do they exist outside our cells and tissues. And so a blood test, for example, sometimes will reveal the infection, but most of the time it won't, because the intracellular location of the infections and the fact that they don't elicit a strong immune response sometimes will give a patient a negative test result, when in fact they really have the infection. So there are certain techniques to increase the chances of getting a positive test, but that's always a problem with patients, and we've known that for a long time, but it's difficult to get a positive test result.
And so basically, of course, sometimes don't they just go ahead and treat them empirically to see if they start getting better on antibiotic therapy?
Well, they first assess whether it's likely that they have these infections, and there are a number of techniques that they use, which I'm not going to go into because it's really kind of complex. But once the patient assessment is done and they realize that, well, it's likely they're probably co-infections, then they, you know, embark upon a certain avenue of treatment. And the Lyme specialists, as we call them, the people that have some knowledge about this and the treatment of it, such as the ILADS group, they really know what they're doing. And after spending a few days with them in San Francisco, I was really impressed by the quality of the physician care. I mean, these are physicians that really care about their patients because they've gone through hell to provide that care to them, and they've gone through a lot of harassment and so on, and they're still there taking care of their patients and helping them. And so I really have to tip my hat, and we all need to give them the recognition of a job well done to really continue on in the face of all the adversity that they see in taking care of their patients.
And I really think it's important for our listeners to know that there's almost an organized program to persecute and go after the doctors who are treating these patients. And, you know, certainly I have always used the figure 1 million Americans infected with Lyme disease. Do you think it may be as high as 2 or 3 million by now?
Well, I think it's several million.
All right.
And it's increasing all the time.
And, of course, these people, if you talk to them, you know, and they've got this chronic fatigue, and then, of course, they may have joint symptoms, or, in fact, Lyme can, suddenly involve so many of the various organs of the body. And, of course, the doctors who want to do something about this will very often come under scrutiny by their medical boards, and they'll be criticized for the other doctors as being quacks, you know, they're treating Lyme disease, and yet this disease is so prevalent today, and it's sort of like the doctors who treat chronic fatigue with of course, chronic antibiotic therapy. The trouble is, you talk to the people, and a lot of them, they've been disabled for years, and suddenly they get on the antibiotics, and after a few months, they really start to get better, which, of course, is really amazing. And then, of course, all the adjunct therapy that Dr. Nicholson is describing. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, I think this is such an important issue. There are a number of chronic infections, certainly involving people with chronic fatigue syndrome and chronic fibromyalgia and Lyme disease, and they all seem to be interrelated directly or indirectly. Well, Garth, is there anything new as far as the treatment is concerned, as far as the approach is?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. the Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Chemicals, chemical, of course, of contamination. We have really so many chemicals, and we're surrounded by them, whether it be in plastics, whether it be in the food coloring, whether it be in the, many of the things that give us odors. We're surrounded by all sorts of chemicals that are not healthy for us. You pick the story up there.
Well, the reason that, you know, you can actually see anecdotal evidence for all three of these where some children become autistic after heavy metal exposures, some after chemical exposure, some after infections, and so on. And in general, we think that multiple of these toxic events are probably required to really send a patient into full-blown autism or one of the other autistic spectrum disorders. But here's the problem, is that a lot of these kids in a very fragile state have to have multiple vaccinations before they can attend school. And there's been a huge controversy over whether the vaccines themselves trigger this. And, of course, I think that this is a distinct possibility if they're given in what I think is an inappropriate regimen. What do I mean by that? Well, there's been a tendency in pediatrician circles to try and put many of these vaccines together, for example, trivalent vaccines, a mixture of three different vaccines into one vaccine. And to give them earlier and earlier, and especially when the young children, their immune system is not fully developed, to give them these multiple vaccines can result in suppressing their immunity, not enhancing their immunity, and that's the worst possible thing. So I think we're going to have to work on that, to work out regimens that are safer. And it's not everyone will come down with these problems, but it's widespread enough that we're seeing 1 in 50 or even higher children becoming autistic, primarily after their multiple vaccines. Of course, this is a highly controversial subject because if you look at any one vaccine or any one trivalent vaccine, it's very hard to pin these down as the cause of something like autism. But here's the problem. It's not just the fact of the vaccines. It's all these other elements that I mentioned before, the chemicals, the heavy metals, the infections. And if you add all this into a mix and try and look at these patients in the context of all these different toxic exposures, then it makes a lot more sense. And then you see the role of the vaccines in all this is suppressing the immune system, as well as some of the chemical exposures and the acute childhood infections. All these are immunosuppressive, and these will tend to suppress the child's immune system and then lead them open to other opportunistic infections or other toxic exposures, and this could result in autism and so on. And so we're beginning to understand that a little bit better. I've been invited to a number of these autism workshops and so on, and Lyme disease plays a role, as I mentioned, in this. And in fact, as many as 20 to 25% of the autistic children are probably Lyme disease patients in Lyme infested areas. This doesn't really explain the incidence of autism in non-Lyme areas. We know that Lyme now and its complement of infections really can play a havoc with a child's immune system and their development. And so this, we feel, is one of the important aspects of this. But Lyme disease goes, well beyond what we mentioned. And now it seems to be important in a variety of other neurodegenerative diseases. Everything from Lou Gehrig's disease to multiple sclerosis to Alzheimer's disease and so on. There's a subset of patients with all these different neurologic diseases that have Lyme disease, and the Lyme infection contributes in some way that we don't understand to their medical situation, to their diagnosis. And so we're finding Lyme over and over, just like we find mycoplasma over and over. In fact, probably the most important medical journal for laboratory testing, it's called Laboratory Medicine, asked me to write a review on this, which I'll send to any of your listeners if they're interested, where I've reviewed the whole area of neurodegenerative and neurobehavioral diseases and the role of these infections in those diseases, because now it's become very important. And it explains why a lot of people come down with these sporadic neurodegenerative neurologic diseases.
Well, I would certainly like to see it, get a copy of that myself, because I think it's, I need to at least have some superficial knowledge. At least hopefully we'll have some other doctors out there who will be listening and can begin to benefit from, of course, your years of study of this. And people are looking for one cause, and the problem is it's not one cause, it's multiple causes, but we have, of course, an awful lot of disabled children. I mean, one in about 65 children, male children, is autistic. Of course, it's about 165 children, but it's more prevalent in boys. And when you start thinking about 1 in 65 boys being autistic, this is a national catastrophe of unparalleled proportions. We'll be right back in just a moment with Garth Nicholson. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do have a caller on the line. We've got Mike from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, just a little question, Stan. Dr. Nicholson mentioned the tip of Long Island, which is Montauk Point. I find that fascinating. I've never heard that before in connection with Lyme disease. That's the famous Montauk that's connected with the Philadelphia experiment and all that. There's a, as I understand it, there's a large... probably a very large underground military installation of some kind. Who knows? But I wonder if Dr. Nicholson knows anything more than what he mentioned earlier.
Well, I do know about the base at Montauk, and that's very close to actually where you get off to go to Plum Island. There's a ferry that goes to Plum Island. And this is considered the North Fork. The end of Long Island has two points to it. And there are these bases up there. And, of course, Plum Island and the base of Montauk, and where the government is doing experimentation and mind control and so on. So there are a number of things going on in that area. And I find it interesting that the disease really originated from this point. The first Lyme diseases were really on the tip of Long Island, out on that area, not in Old Lyme, Connecticut. Old Lyme, Connecticut happened a little bit later when the birds flew across the Sound, I think, and deposited their ticks onto some of the local animals in Lyme, and then it spread to the humans there. So there's something going on there, that's for sure, and we don't know all the information about it.
I drove out there once just to look around. There's not a lot to see, but it's just interesting.
Well, Mike, there are all sorts of things that are going on that we do not have the investigative capacity to look into this. Certainly the government has it, but the government is not going to tell us what they're doing in their secret experiments. They're going to do everything they can to conceal what they're doing from the American people, and certainly the onset of Lyme disease coming, you know, as a result of the proximity of Plum Island to Lyme, Connecticut. Think of the implications of this. If the government were responsible for 3 million people being chronically infected and disabled by this, is this why, of course, there's such an effort to discredit and demonize the doctors who are trying to help people with this disease? I don't know. But I think it's something that we certainly need to think about. Anything else to say before we let you go?
Not for now. Thanks a lot.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, our guest is Dr. Garth Nicholson, and, of course, we're talking about Lyme disease. We're talking about autism. We're talking about this whole spectrum of chronic infections, which is infecting millions and millions of people in America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And before we go on, Garth, let's go ahead and get your website out again. You'd given it before, but your website and then the website for the doctors who treat Lyme disease.
My website is the Institute for Molecular Medicine. It's immed.org, like immediate.org. That's how you remember it. And there they can find information about the chronic infections and their role in various types of diseases. The Lyme Society, this is the Society of Lyme's Treating Physicians. It's called ILADS, I-L-A-D-S, the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society. And that can be found at ILADS.org. And they have a website which discusses Lyme disease and the treatments and the physicians that actually effectively treat Lyme disease. And you'll find out the conference that I just attended. They have some information there on the website as well.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the treatment, and of course, really we have to left almost with the treating doctor. There's no, I know many years ago that a lot of people used a Vocefin sort of routinely on this, but certainly, should you try to determine which infection it is, would that determine which type of antibiotic you're used?
Well, it does, and most physicians that treat this use combinations of different antibiotics that go after one of these forms that I mentioned, the intracellular form, the form that has the cell coating, and also the cystic form, the quiescent form. So there are different drugs to do this, and they have to be used in different combinations and such, and it's really probably too complex to discuss now without some prior knowledge of this, but those Lyme patients, of course, know a lot about this. And these regimens have to be used long-term, and the reason for that is that most of these infections are slow-growing, and they're not very metabolically active, so it's not just as easy as knocking out a bacterial infection with 10 days of treatment or something. These treatments have to continue, particularly if Lyme has been present for a long time without treatment, for virtually months, if not years, of treatment, and cycling in and out these different types of antibiotics and so on, and providing a lot of support for the immune system, and I mentioned lipid replacement therapy, and there are some other considerations as well that have to be dealt with, including diet, which is actually very important. And we were discussing some of these things at the Lyme conference. People don't realize how important their diet is, but if you use the wrong diet, you can actually help these infections. If you use the best diet, the more appropriate diet, then you can start to starve these infections and help in terms of your recovery as well. So there are a lot of considerations, and some of these are, you can access this information on our website under treatment considerations. And you can also go to the ILADS website and find out more information about these different aspects of Lyme disease.
Well, now, what about things like chronic chlamydia infection? Is this really a problem, or a chronic infection as far as undulant fever is concerned?
Well, you know, all these different chronic infections, and you mentioned chlamydia, mostly chlamydia pneumoniae. Those infections are airborne. Certain epidemics in the school systems are caused because of the cause atypical pneumonia among children are often caused by chlamydia pneumoniae or mycoplasma pneumoniae or Mycoplasma fermentans. So these are fairly common occurrences that up until a few years ago, we really didn't know the cause of these atypical cases of pneumonia. Yes, these infections can cause initially a manifestation of pneumonia, particularly atypical pneumonia, but then if they're not treated appropriately, they can go into a more chronic phase, and then instead of just involving the respiratory system, they can involve virtually every organ in the body, and then when they become neurological, that's the most dangerous of all. And these infections, and we can put Lyme in the same category, when they hit the neurologic point, when they get in the brain, that becomes the most difficult to treat and the most difficult signs and symptoms to deal with as a physician to deal with these problems. So that's something that can happen if they go untreated and undiagnosed. So this is an important issue that we're really fighting to get the appropriate early diagnosis, because it's much easier to treat in an early phase when it gets in all these different tissues. And, gee, these patients have heart problems and heart difficulties. They have problems with virtually all their organs. Their immune system, their endocrine system goes out of whack, for example, and causes major problems. So
these patients have a lot of different problems, and that makes it very difficult to treat these diseases.
Well, are the infectious disease specialists pretty aware of this? You know, we have a lot of doctors, very capable doctors, who've taken the subspecialty in infectious disease, but my gut feeling is that they really don't understand a lot of the things we're talking about tonight. Would that be an accurate appraisal, or are some of them beginning to understand?
I think that's probably an accurate assessment, because, and I know you and I taught in medical school for many years, almost 30 years in my case, and the problem is that infectious disease physicians are really taught more about acute infections, not about chronic infections. Often the chronic infections were pushed off to the rheumatologists and other people that deal with chronic diseases, and so the ID docs were primarily interested in these very rapidly growing infections that cause an acute problem and require very rapid decisions and acute treatments. They're really not taught to deal with these chronic issues, and that was one of the whole problems in the whole business of going after the Lyme docs, because it was primarily the infectious disease docs that did not believe in these chronic slow growing infections. They felt that most of these infections should be treatable with 2 to 4 weeks of antibiotics, and that just is not the case. It just won't make a dent in these chronic infections like Lyme.
All right, well, there's just so much here, and I'm just glad that you are at least have doctors to work with, and hopefully one of these days why the general medical community will recognize the severity of these chronic infections as millions and millions of people, you know, come down with these diseases, these chronic infections, referable, of course, at least in part, to tick bites. Well, are there any other exciting things that we ought to be talking about at the present time? Anything else new in this field?
Well, there are a lot of new therapeutic approaches that are adjunct to the antibiotic therapy that we were discussing with Lyme disease and other types of illnesses. And I think in the future we'll hear more about this. They're just beginning to surface. And certainly at the ILADS meeting, physicians were beginning to talk about some of these different approaches. And so people are trying all kinds of things, from more oriental approaches, for example, to other types of approaches to see what will help patients the best. And I think all the ILADS physicians know that it's, you have to try anything you can to help these patients, because they're very difficult cases to deal with, and they have so many different signs and symptoms, and so many of the different tissue and organ systems are involved with these infections and are affected by them, that it's very difficult. So these ILAD physicians deal not only with the infections, but they deal with sleep problems, for example. They deal with metabolic problems. They deal with hormonal problems. And they deal with a lot of different issues that these patients have that have to be approached in terms of the control and ameliorating their diseases, because you just can't go after these complex problems with just one single approach. And I think now we're understanding that much better, and there's more of a general feeling that we're trying to get a handle on these different ways in which we can help these patients with complex diseases like Lyme disease.
Well, is there any place, of course, for herbal treatments, or certainly things, there are many, many things that they have, within the Chinese, medicine, certainly the ginseng, they have their the oil of oregano, they have the use of garlic, use of the oil of elderberry, use of some of these herbal substances would seem to help to increase the immune system. Would these be applicable at all in what we're talking about?
Well, generally, after the infections have been suppressed, these sorts of things, I think, have a use, and we discuss a little bit of this on our website, different herbal therapies and remedies that have been used over the years. The problem is with something like Lyme disease is that alone is really not sufficient for most patients to suppress their infections. You really have to go after it with a hammer first, and once you've suppressed the infections with these multiple courses of antibiotics, then you have to build back the immune system and the various systems of the body that maintain our state, normal state. And so there they do, I think, play a role, and we suggest that too as a follow-on to antibiotic therapy, a maintenance therapy more or less. And now these become more and more important for patients to help their immune systems, help
their hormonal regulations help maintain their tissues in a normal status.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Jack, who's been patiently waiting on the line. Jack, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. Whether ozonated water would have any merit.
All right. What about the idea of ozonating water? We hear people talking about that sort of thing. Certainly we know that some people are using hyperbaric approaches, hyperbaric oxygen approaches. But what about this ozonated water? Is there anything to that?
Well, I think the more effective way to use ozone is to actually put ozone into the blood. Usually the way this is done is a pint of blood is removed and then ozone is placed in the blood and the blood's put back in the patient. This has been effective against chronic infections in general because most of these infections are considered to be borderline anaerobic. That is, they prefer low oxygen tension for their proliferation and for their metabolic activity. And so if you increase the oxygen tension, you tend to suppress them. Now, the problem with these treatments are that they're not what we call cytotoxic. They don't actually kill the organism. They're cytostatic. They slow it down. They prevent it from growing. And so it does, I think, have its use. But by itself, it's probably not going to be effective against all these different Lyme organisms. So, again, it's another one of these things which is helpful, but by itself, is probably not curative or really helpful for the patient in itself. But used in a regimen of other ways in which to control the infection and ways in which to restore the body to its normal state, I think have been useful.
What about hyperbaric oxygen, where they actually put people into an oxygen atmosphere where they're getting excessive oxygen for a period of an hour or so? So
this is, again,
that sort of thing?
This has proven useful as an adjunct therapy, adjunct to a number of other techniques and procedures as we've been mentioning, and it's been found to be useful in all the different things that we've talked about tonight, in neurodegenerative diseases, in autism, in Lyme disease, and so on. By itself, with only that type of therapy, I'm skeptical whether that in itself alone as a sole therapy will be effective, but certainly as an adjunct therapy. It's been proven to be helpful. So, again, this is something that people have gotten some benefit with, but they haven't gotten cured. And as soon as they take the oxygen therapy away, often patients relapse. So it's something that has to be continued for a long-term basis to really help patients.
All right. Anything else, Jack, before we let you go?
Indeed. The use of these dryer sheets.
Of the what?
These commercial soaps. When I'm outside and the neighbors are doing that thing, I just have to immediately leave the area because my mind seems to just be disconnected or something.
I know. I'm sorry. What is this? Is some sort of a soap?
Oh, Dr. Stan, it's you know, when people wash their clothes and then dry, it's the stuff that's coming, I'm sure, out of the dryer into the immediate air environment, and I can't stand to breathe it because it disrupts my cognitive function. I start to get a headache.
All right.
I lose energy, and I just have to actually come inside.
Okay, well, let's see if Dr. Nicholson's ever heard anything about that. Thanks so much for calling. And so Jack was simply saying that sometimes when his neighbors are doing their laundry and then they hang it out, because most people have dryers today, but apparently up there in Michigan where he lives, why they still hang the things out on the lines. And I've never heard of people getting ill from but maybe some of the chemicals that are in the soaps or in the water softeners. Have you ever heard any of that?
Well, some people are very sensitive to certain types of chemicals, and of course there are chemicals in all the detergents and so on that you use, and the detergents themselves some people are very sensitive to. And so yes, it's not unusual to hear these problems of people getting exposed to certain chemicals in the home, and they have very strong adverse reactions to it. And I mentioned the chemical exposures were one of the problems with many patients in terms of suppressing their immune system and affecting their hormonal regulation and so on and so forth. So it is one of the things that we have to be aware of, and people that become chemically sensitive, that's usually for some reason. And often we've found that those people have other problems as well and that make them chemically sensitive. in the most extreme cases are people that have what's called multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome, the MCS. And these are patients that are sensitive to practically all kinds of chemicals, and that's a real problem.
Well, we're running out of time. Certainly, I wanted to mention for our listeners the book that you wrote called Operation Daylily. Project Daylily, I'm sorry. Has that had a fairly good exposure? I mean, we've done fairly well. Every time we get on the air and talk about it, Marvie, we always get a number of calls from people for the book. But did you ever get a really good national exposure with that book? It's a wonderful, thrilling, of course, real-life story.
Well, we've never done any advertising, and so we've always depended upon people like you to really promote the book and to help people find out about it. And we wrote the book really to protect ourselves, because the special forces were the ones that really told us that we needed to put this into print and to publish a book or something so that we would be more protected against the people out there that were after us to try and suppress this information. So Project Daylily, we had to self-publish it, because every publisher we went to, they were initially very interested in publishing the book, but then all of a sudden a screen came down and they weren't interested anymore. So we ended up self-publishing the book, and you can get it from Ex Libris or from Stan. Stan carries copies of the book, Project Daylily, so we encourage you to buy it from his place, because hopefully he'll get a little bit of income from that. But it's very interesting that the Wilkie Company, which is everybody that has a computer at one time or another uses the encyclopedia that they produce, and they actually have put this book as one of the most prominent and important books published since the Middle Ages. And so we're real excited about that. In the year that it was published, it was one of four books that they highlighted as one of the important books of our time to read.
And that's Wikipedia up on the Internet. I'll have to go and look at the site, but it's a fascinating book. It's one of those books that you get started, you don't want to put it down, because it's quite a long book, certainly we read it a couple of weekends. At least in some respects, I knew some of the people that were there. I knew who they were, although the names are changed to protect Garth and his wife from libel. The story is accurate, and you think a Tom Clancy novel is exciting? Boy, this one puts Tom Clancy to shame. We'll be right back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Garth, please hang on. We'll have three more minutes before we let you go. Well, we have three.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
A new four-tape set on Lyme disease. People need to know not only what's going on, but where they can get help. And you're not going to get it help through regular channels. So let me suggest that if you'd like to get a copy of this program tonight, or like to get our four-tape set on chronic fatigue, or our four-tape set on Lyme disease, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we do carry Garth Nicholson's exciting book. It's really a biography written by he and his wife of their, of course, there are frequent brushes with death because there were really people trying to kill them because they were looking into the background, of course, the government experiments taking place in Huntsville, Texas. And, of course, it was when Garth Nicholson's superior, who was a retired Air Force, colonel, told Garth early in the morning he was going to come forward and of course, reveal and make a public statement about these macabre experiments that were being carried out in the name of genetic warfare. And, of course, it was all being done in MD Anderson Clinic. And within about 3 hours, he was dead with 6 bullets in the back of his head. Garth was convinced he was going to have to leave Huntsville, Texas. Fascinating information you're not going to hear elsewhere. This is not imaginary. This is the real world we live in. Well, of course, we do hope many of you want to get our information on the spiritual forces behind what's going on. Who could do anything as terrible as creating all these diseases that are plaguing mankind? Why, there really are people who have a different worldview. And that's why you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it. Why you need to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret, and our talk on the secret knowledge, and of course the syllabus that goes with the Forbidden Secret. Why you need to get our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. In fact, we have syllabuses that go with so many of our tapes or our DVDs. We have a certainly sustainable development syllabus and a video, I should say a DVD, and of course a four-tape set that goes with that. Certainly we have a great deal of other information is available, and we do hope that you will be willing, of course, to get the information and to get it out. Of course, we put a lot of the original documentation in our syllabuses. We'll be giving a talk this Sunday on oil. Everything you needed to know about oil, why the price went up, why the price came down. Is there really a shortage of oil in the world? Have we been lied to? Is we're running out of oil because there are no more dinosaurs? That was what we were being told. Oh, yes, the reason we're running out of oil, we have peak oil, is because there are no more dinosaurs dying and creating oil. And if you believe that, boy, I have a wonderful, wonderful bridge I'd like to sell you. But remember, most of what you believe is not true. And that's why you need to listen to our program. You need to get our material. You need to challenge us. And if we've got anything there that isn't accurate, we want you to bring it to our attention. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Remember, we are going to have an all-day seminar that's coming Sunday. It's going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Of course, people have to have reservations. We have over 165 people coming at the present time, the biggest meeting we've ever had. And And it's going to be an exciting time. I hope to see you there. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. And what can you do? Why, you can pray for America. You can pray for revival. You can pray for...